The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Chuck had had a close call during the past week. A car had run a red light and broadsided his vehicle. As the accident was occurring, he didn't think he was going to survive. Chuck was a member of my previous parish and had gotten up to share about his experience during our midweek service some years ago. What he said about it really surprised me. Chuck told the congregation that the accident, as it was happening, it was as if things were going in slow motion, and that people always say your life flashes before your eyes in such moments. But he said, at that moment, facing the possibility of his sudden, unexpected death, he was thinking about Kent Wally. Now, that was the last thing that I expected him to say. I hadn't had a lot of personal interactions with Chuck, not more than usual for any member of the parish where I was serving as a clergy on staff. I was one of three clergy on staff at my previous parish, and I was an associate in charge of adult education in small groups. Chuck went on to explain why, in the moments that he was face to face with his own mortality, he was thinking about me, one of his pastors. He said it was because of how I was always encouraging people in the parish there to read the Bible and to join the small groups. And he realized in that instant that he regretted not doing that, not reading the Bible more. I think Chuck had been ignoring a nagging sense that God had placed in his heart to seek God through reading and studying the scriptures. And facing his death, he regretted not doing so. This Memorial Day weekend, we remember our fallen, those who gave their lives as members of our armed forces serving our country. And I am sure many of them knew what they were getting into and volunteered to bravely go and face the enemy, putting their lives on the line. But I suspect there were also many others who didn't realize, who perhaps hadn't thought things through, who never thought it could happen to them, or were drafted against their will into the service, who suddenly found themselves in harm's way and called upon to give the ultimate sacrifice. And I wonder how many of them had regrets about things they hadn't done in their lives. We honor them today as we thank God for them, but we can also honor them today by considering our own lives and asking ourselves, if suddenly our life was demanded of us this week, would we have any regrets with respect to God? Now, I realize that's a big, somewhat sobering question, but can you go there with me this morning? And consider for a few moments today, particularly as you consider your life, how have you responded to God's call? Have you responded as you should? Have you sought the presence of God fully in your life? Might some of you here this morning, like Chuck, be ignoring a nagging sense deep within you that God might be calling you to read and study the Bible in a more regular and concerted fashion than you've done so far in your life? In the gospel reading for today, Jesus speaks of a way to know the presence of God more fully in your life, to grow intangibly knowing that God is with you, and a way that impacts your eternal destiny. This reading comes once again from the Last Supper, as Jesus is explaining to his disciples that he's about to die. These words we read this morning were prompted by a question that comes just before today's passage. The other Judas, not Iscariot, asks Jesus this question: Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? It's interesting that the word in that question in the Greek, translated reveal, is the same word used of theophanies. That's visible manifestations of God in the world. It's the word used in the Greek Septuagint. That's the Hebrew Bible in Greek that was at use in the first century. The word there is used to describe God's revealing himself to Moses at the burning bush. As one commentator put it, it seems that Judas is confused and is looking for Jesus to give another theophany that will startle the world. In a sense, his question is saying, Jesus, you've revealed to us that you are God. How is it that you're not making that plain and obvious to the rest of the world? And as is quite often the case, Jesus doesn't seem to answer the question. Why isn't Jesus revealing himself in a startling way as God to the world? Here's what Jesus says: those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. Oh, that explains it. Huh? How is it that keeping Jesus' word reveals God to the world? Does this really answer the question? Actually, if you look at it very carefully, it does. Jesus is saying that his words are not merely his own words, but they are also the Father's words. They are the words of God. Jesus' teaching is more than merely some good nuggets of moral and philosophical truth. Jesus is speaking to us the very words of God. Those words have the power to reveal God to us. Jesus' word does reveal God to the world. Note what Jesus says will happen. If out of love for Jesus, a person will keep his word, then Jesus says, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. In the next chapter, Jesus will talk about how his followers are to abide in him like branches in a vine. And when they do that, he will come and abide in them. When we do that, he says, by keeping his word, Jesus and the Father, through the Holy Spirit, that's in today's reading, will come and dwell within us as we keep Jesus' word. That's a powerful statement. Do you see the implications? Jesus is not saying that his teaching is just something out there to be believed, like some nice moral teaching. He's saying that his words have the power to bring the very presence of God upon any person who in love seeks to know Jesus and keep his word. In fact, the word in this passage translated "make our home with them" in the Greek is the same word that Jesus used earlier in the chapter, where he's talking about making a home for us in heaven. And he says, all who trust him as the way, the truth, and the life, he will go and prepare a place for them. We read this at funerals all the time. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to make a home ready for you there. Jesus is saying, those heavenly dwellings that are filled with the presence of God and being built for us to dwell with God forever, those heavenly dwellings are being built now in this life. God will begin the construction on a dwelling place for you and him to be together right now in this life within your heart and your soul as you seek to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word, the Bible. And so Jesus is answering the question. He is revealing himself as God to the world, not just in one startling theophany, but in a myriad of theophanies, one person at a time, each one as they lovingly read, study, hear, and consider his word. I love the way my New Testament professor, who's the author of the IVP New Testament Commentary on John, Rod Whitaker, puts it. He says this, Jesus' teaching is not just interesting thoughts about God and the world. Rather, he has revealed God and opened the way to share God's own life. To obey his teaching is to adopt God's pattern of life. But the condition for such obedience is love for Jesus. The commands of Jesus are not a set of rules like a traffic code. They are a description of a pattern of life that reflects God's own life transposed into human circumstances. Instead of describing a spectacular theophany, Jesus speaks of dwelling with his disciples. We share God's own life. We encounter God dwelling with us as we seek to know him in Jesus' words, in the scriptures, and as we seek to lovingly obey him. Let me say that again. This passage today is teaching us that we share God's own life. We encounter God dwelling with us as we seek to know him in Jesus' words, in the scriptures, and lovingly obey him. The promise is remarkable and profound, but the takeaway for us, the application, is all too simple. You can't keep Jesus' word if you don't know what it is. You can't experience God revealing himself to you as you abide in his word if you aren't dwelling in the word regularly. The application is to lovingly, prayerfully seek the presence of God in the scriptures. Read the Bible. Can I get personal with you for just a moment? Why don't you? Why don't you do this more often? Why don't you read the Bible every day? What excuses do you have? Now, some of you might say, I'm too busy. But is that really a good excuse? All of our lives are busy, and yet millions of people every morning make the time to do this. Could anything really be more important than experiencing the loving, guiding, assuring presence of God dwelling with you and bringing peace? Some of you might say, I don't know enough. I can't understand it. And yet Jesus himself, in this passage, provides the answer to that one. He says he sent you an interpreter who works closely with the word of God to make it understandable and to reveal the presence of God in our hearts. That is, of course, the Holy Spirit. How many times have you heard someone, how many times have you heard me or another member of this parish, or a Christian pastor, teacher, or an author encourage you to read the Bible more regularly. You may have heard it from Rob Drosty in our diocese. You may have heard it from Bishop Chip Stokes, our diocesan bishop. You may have heard it from our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. You may have heard it from Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, because each and every one of them has been specifically saying this over and over again, all the more so recently, encouraging the people of the Episcopal Church and the World Anglican Communion to do it, to read the Bible every day and seek the presence of God in it. And so you probably heard this before. It's nothing new or revelatory, though, as Jesus is telling us in the gospel reading today, it could be revelatory for you. It could reveal God to you and make you more aware of who he is if you read it in love, seeking to obey your Lord and seeking the Holy Spirit to guide you to interpret it. So can I make a humble suggestion to the 85% or so of you here this morning that don't strive to read the Bible this way every day? Why not just do it? Let this time be different. Let this moment, this very moment, be your moment of decision and resolve. Let Jesus' compelling words, his command in today's gospel reading, penetrate your heart. Lower your defenses. Let him in. What do you really have to lose? You have so much to gain. Don't be like Chuck, who regretted ignoring the nagging sense that God wanted him to do this. Listen to that quiet voice, persistently whispering within you. Follow that voice. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into all truth, into Jesus' words, into peace, into love, by leading you into his word, the Bible. Pick up and read each and every day of your life. No more excuses for any of us here this morning. Let's obey him and do it. Let us do it daily. Read the Bible and discover God dwelling with us. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.